Coming up on this episode...
It's got royal intrigue. It's got love and betrayal. I mean, who doesn't like a book about royal intrigue?
Right?
I mean, how many of them? There's immense wealth. There's royal palaces.
Love is no better than the lover. And so stupid people love stupidly. Violent people love violently.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by your two favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own ideas and thoughts about just what gives these works the narrative edge.
All right, Orlando, you've been reading a book, you've been thinking about this book, and you are here to tell me about it. So what book are we talking about today?
Today I have an epic story, a mythical story. It's got love, it's got self-determination, it's got war, betrayal, and the gods.
All the themes, then.
It's got all the big themes. And but in the end, it's really a personal story about a young woman who rises above her circumstances, and it's set in medieval Africa. And the book is called Masquerade by Oyin Shangoyomi.
Okay, so medieval Africa. Can you be more specific about that? When is that referring to?
Yeah, so we're talking about the 14th, 15th century. We're talking about West Africa, talking about Yoruba land. So this would have been the place where we currently have Nigeria, Benin, and Togo. And the story starts, however, on the edge of the Sahara in Timbuktu.
That is a name I've heard. So we're talking about caravans, wealth, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And our protagonist hails from Timbuktu, and she helps to create the wealth of Timbuktu because she is a blacksmith. She's 19 years old. Her name is Ododo. And very early in the book, she is visited by the king of Yoruba land, the most powerful man in the land. He's in disguise and comes up to her stall, and in a brief meeting, he falls in love with her, and he decides then and there that he wants Ododo as his bride. And so the king, Oremo, kidnaps Ododo and takes her from Timbuktu to live in the royal compound, the kingdom's capital city.
Okay, so kidnapping, not your typical form of expression of love, but
no.
And that's the central problem, at least at the beginning of the book.
At the beginning of the book, yes, this is a problem. She doesn't know where she is. She's terrified, but she quickly gets accustomed to living in the royal city. She becomes enthralled with the trappings of royalty. She likes the clothes, the food. I like this book in a lot of ways, but it's the scene setting in this royal palace that is really stays with you in your mind. Ododo will become Oremo's second wife because he has a first wife. But this is the first wife that he's actually in love with. His first wife was sort of a political marriage because Oremo, the king, is all about expanding Yoruba land and conquest. And so he had this first wife as a political marriage. But this second wife, Ododo, he actually cares for her and is tender towards her.
So at this point of the book, it seems like the kidnapping is no longer really the problem. The problem now is maybe the tension between the first wife and the second wife. Like, what do they think of each other?
It's going to go there.
It's going to go there.
It is going to go there. The book is going to go a lot of places.
All right.
It's got a lot of twists and turns in it. But yeah, the relationship with the first wife, her name was Kolo, it's hot and cold. Mostly cold, and in the end, it does get violent and deadly. But, you know, one thing I like about this book is that it's got royal intrigue, it's got love and betrayal. Who doesn't like a book about royal intrigue?
Right?
How many of them have you read?
Well, I mean, there's Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel, that Game of Thrones, of course, and just what we see in the press, or what we have seen in the press over the years about Princess Diana, for example.
I mean, you can't get enough of it. But this one is set in medieval West Africa, which is the thing about it. So the book has people killed, you know, people are going to die. Just about all the main characters at some point are going to be at threat of dying. There's alliances that are formed between people, alliances that are fractured. And then, of course, we have external threats in the form of wars, attacks from external forces. And then there's also a strike by the poor people, and there's a poor people's revolt. So there's a lot of plot points to consider in the book. But again, it's fundamentally about the journey, the coming into being, really, of Ododo. And here's the author, Oyin Shangoyami. She's a writer from Atlanta. That's the Georgia connection here. Here is Shangoyami talking about Ododo.
Absolutely. So in Masquerade, we follow Ododo, who's a young blacksmith. And at this time in West Africa, blacksmiths were largely ostracized for their profession. It was seen as unnatural. So she's kind of at the bottom of the social ladder, to say. And one day she's kidnapped by a king and she's brought to his home where he lives in luxury. And there's a lot of politics to navigate and also battle. And Ododo, above all, what she sees there is power. And she sees this power that she's never had before. And that's what really fascinates her and draws her. And she begins to imagine a life for herself that she could have that power for herself too.
Okay, so how long is this book?
It is a fairly long book. It's about 352 pages. It's got 30-plus chapters. I experienced it as an audiobook at 14 hours.
Wow, okay. So a lot going on in this book already. We've talked about several different characters, shifting plot points. I imagine it can get pretty complicated, but for you, like, what kept you in the story? What propelled you forward?
So there's a couple of questions in your mind that continues you turning the pages. And one of them is, will Ododo find her mother? Because in the course of the kidnapping, the mother's fate is unknown. And Ododo basically demands that the mother be found and brought to the capital city before her wedding. So Aremo, the king, sends soldiers throughout the land to find the mother, but she's nowhere to be found in Timbuktu. She's nowhere to be found in all of Yorubaland. So that's one thing. Will the mother be found? And the second thing is, will the love between Aremo and Ododo last? Will they get married eventually? Will they survive? You know, they have this stormy relationship. Again, it's hot and it's cold. There's betrayal and then makeup. I mean, it's got more betrayal and makeup than a soap opera. And each time somebody does something wrong, you're thinking, all right, are they going to make up again or is this over? And when I say over, things can be really over when we're talking about royal stuff.
Like dead over.
Like dead over.
Yeah.
So will one of these fights break them up? Will they die? You know, they all could die like multiple times.
Okay. So, and what about Aremo? What about his story?
Well, so Aremo doesn't change much, sort of. Aremo is always Aremo. He's the king. He's got this big personality. He's a showman. He likes to show off in public his battle skills. I mean, his violence and his terror. I mean, there's like public executions. So
hell of a guy, this guy.
He's controlling. He sort of will give Ododo some power, and then he'll take it away. He'll give Ododo some agency, and then he'll spy on her. And you know, he's just always Aremo the king. He doesn't change, and that's the problem. That's going to be a problem during the book. So here's the author, Oyin Shangoyami, talking about the king, Aremo.
Going into this book, something that I was thinking about a lot was actually a concept that I heard from Toni Morrison first. And basically, in one of her books, to paraphrase, I don't remember the exact quote, but she said something like, the love is no better than the lover. And so stupid people love stupidly, violent people love violently, weak people love weakly, mean people love meanly. And so going into this, I knew that Aremo, you know, he's personality-wise, he's pretty charming, but you can't forget that he's conquered so many lands and he's brought misery to so many people, and that's who he is. So even though the love that he shares with Ododo, it's genuine, he really does love her. It's also, he's a violent person, and so the way that he loves isn't always good.
So one question I have listening to all that and hearing how controlling he is and how violent he is, what does Ododo see in this guy?
Power.
So
power.
Well, what does that say about Ododo?
I mean,
she sold out pretty quickly, it seems, after being kidnapped.
She loves him too. I mean, she does love him genuinely. There is romance there. She likes his personality, the way he charms her, and but yes, she does like the trappings of power as well.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about who this author is.
Shango Yomi, she's from Atlanta. She's Nigerian American. And she told me that she started working on this book sort of in the COVID lockdown period when she was at Princeton University, and she had a lot of free time in the lockdown. So she started researching medieval African history. And so when she got out of all that research, she came up with this book.
Wow. Okay. And did you learn a bit about African history by reading this? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of get the mental image in my mind. There's great kingdoms, there's immense wealth, there's royal palaces. It's a highly stratified society, though. You've got very wealthy people, you've got very poor people, and you've got the enslavement. I mean, there was enslaved people, there was poverty. So, you know, there's all of that history in the book, but again, it's historical fiction.
I feel that most of what we see about African history and African society, it concerns Africa post-colonization. And even when you look at African history, so many texts begin when the British or the Dutch or the French arrived. And I really wanted to explore Africa before all of that, because when you see that those types of things, it sets the narrative that Africa didn't have a history, or like it didn't even exist before Europeans came to colonize it. But the truth is, there was a very long and rich history before the continent was ever visited by Europeans. And I wanted to show those societies and the way that they functioned in themselves outside of the lens of the European gaze.
So about how much of this book is based in actual African history?
So without knowing the history myself, I can't say for sure, but there's great kingdoms. I think probably the scene setting is probably the best of the history part. But, you know, there's lots added for dramatic effect. Was there a city called Shangote? No. Was there a king that did this? Was there a queen who did this? Probably not. What I loved about the book was that, you know, it immersed my thoughts in all of these great images, you know, the palaces, the food, the clothes, the epic scenes of banquets and battles. And, you know, these things existed, but, you know, the story is 100% made up. In fact, the story itself is more a take on a Greek myth, the Greek myth of Persephone.
That's a name I know, but I'm not super familiar with the myth.
I didn't know Persephone much either, but every time I read about this book, Masquerade, I kept on reading that it was sort of a take on Persephone, so I refreshed myself with some research on, you know, Greek mythology 101. Persephone is the goddess who was abducted by a king, Zeus, and taken down to live with him in the underworld, where she eats pomegranate seeds, and because she eats the pomegranate seeds, she supposedly didn't know that they would tie her to the underworld forever. And so in Masquerade, Ododo also eats seeds, but these are what were they, cowpea seeds, I think they were called. But in this case, she knows that the seeds could kill her, because at that point, she just wants to die.
I've always really loved Greek mythology, and Persephone was always my favorite myth growing up. And so it really surprised me when it became popular in popular culture, and it was largely interpreted as a romance, because that, for all as much as I loved it, I never really saw it as a romance. And another thing that bothered me about it was that so many, you know, tellings of this myth said that Persephone ate those pomegranate seeds on accident and she didn't know what would happen. And I just found that so unlikely, that she could not know the consequences of eating those seeds. And so what started Masquerade really was me wanting to write an ambitious female character who was given more credit for her ambition.
So by talking about this book, talking about Persephone. Hopefully, I've inspired people maybe to look a little bit into medieval African history or the Greek myth of Persephone, and of course, get the book.
Well, what for you gives this book the narrative edge?
Well, Adodo is such an appealing character. I mean, sort of everyone can relate to her, right? You know, she's got so much against her that you want her to succeed. You want her to break out of the shell that she was. You know, she was a meek little blacksmith in the lowest class, but she wants to become something greater, and she finds out what that greater can be. Yet at the same time, when she rises in power, she loses some of her compassion. You noted that earlier. Mm-hmm. She loses some of her heart. She becomes more calculating, more violent, in fact.
But it seems like you went along for the ride with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. All the way to the end.
Okay.
This is an all the way to the end book. And, you know, it sort of forces you to think, you know, would I have made the same choices, you know? Power, poverty, you know, there's more twists on this in this book than a mountain road. There's drama and intrigue. So, you know, if you like Wolf Hall, if you like Game of Thrones, if you like, you know, the Diana books and you know, I don't even Downton Abbey or whatever, all these very, you know, sort of powerful people doing bad type books, this is the book for you. It's in a different setting, but the story is kind of familiar. That's what I like about it. And it just goes quickly because it's so good.
All right. Well, the book is Masquerade by Oyin Shangoyomi. Orlando, thanks for telling me about it.
My pleasure.